this morning's scripture is just two verses, and it's in Luke 6. It's two verses, 39 and 40. And I'm going to invite you to open up either the red Bibles or a Bible that you brought with you, or if you have a Bible on your phone or something, just so that you can see, because I'm going to be pointing out a couple things. I know it's two verses and it seems silly to like, oh, I have to look at this in the Bible, but there's a couple things I want you to notice in the actual printed Bible. And these two verses read this way. He, it means Jesus, also told them a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above the teacher, but every disciple who is fully qualified will be like the teacher. Two verses. And there's a couple things in your actual printed Bible that I want you to notice. The first is, do you notice that those two verses are part of a larger section that has a subheading over it? I can't remember what the subheading says. I think it says, do not judge or something like that. What's the subheading? Judging others. Okay, so here's the thing. When we read our Bibles, many of our translations of the Bible have these little subheadings in, like judging others. And those were put there a long time ago by various translators as a way of helping us as we're reading the Bible, help it break into kind of manageable portions that are kind of connected thematically or fit in the same section. They weren't in the original Bible. So just a reminder of that, those subheadings that you see in the Bible, the only place that that's different in the Psalms, many of the Psalms have headings of them that are put there by the original writers of the Psalms. But things like this that say judging others, not in the actual biblical text. Those are helps that were put in there to help us. The good thing about subheadings is they help us go, oh, I want to read a little section on the Lord's Prayer, or I want to read a section on judging others, or I want to read a section on this. However, the problem is that we rely on the subheadings, and therefore we are predisposed to read a couple verses like this and go, well, it's about judging others. So then we don't have to pause with it. We don't have to stop with it. We don't ask questions about it because we read it and we go, well, it's under the heading of judging others. So therefore, that's what it's about. I probably shouldn't judge others. And we move on, right? We don't stop with it. I think sometimes, like with these two verses, I read it and I went, that doesn't really seem like it's about judging others. Why is that in that section? Well, it's in that section because other parts around it seem to be about judging others, and so it was helpful for the translators to put it under that heading. A couple other things that you might not be aware of. We're reading in Luke chapter 6, right? And there's a chapter 7 and chapter 8. There's chapters all the way through all the books of the Bible. Those also weren't in the original Bible. Those didn't show up until somewhere between 12 and 1300 after Jesus, after Christ. Those are things that were also put in to help people who are reading the Bible deal with it in manageable pieces. The verses, we are reading verse 39 and 40, those waited another 100 to 200 years to show up in translations of the Bible. They also weren't there in the original. I have a picture of a Greek text from the Bible. Look at that. You can't read, well, maybe you can read it. I don't know. I can't read that. This is a copy of the Greek scripture. And there's a couple things that you might notice in this Greek text. The first is, there's no spaces. See that? How do you know where the word stops and where the word ends? There's very few spaces. There's no paragraphs, really. There's the one big I. Punctuation, there's some punctuation, not a lot. There's definitely no subheadings. There's no chapters. There's no verses. This is kind of a copy of a text that goes pre-1200. So before all of those things were starting being, this is a much older copy of the text. And so people who were translating scripture, when they started translating scripture, it was so that people like you and I could read it. It was so that people didn't have to rely upon some authority out there, a priest out there who was educated in a particular language of scripture. It was people saying, you know what? We want everybody to be able to get their hands on a Bible and to be able to read it because the Bible is the inspired word of God. The Bible reveals to us who God is, and how are you going to benefit from that unless you can read it? And so they took things like this and they put it into whatever the contemporary language of the day was, and they put in subheadings and chapters and verses eventually to assist us in our ability to read the Bible. And it's so fascinating. They talk about in North America that we have moved into what they call a post-literate society. It used to be people didn't read because they couldn't read, and now people don't read because we can't be bothered to read because there's too much out there to read. And I bring this all up because if we aren't reading scripture, well, we're not benefiting from one of the primary ways that God has revealed himself to humanity. But also, if we're only reading it based on the subheadings and things like that, then we're making assumptions about what we're reading, and we're not stopping and asking questions and sinking into it. One of the things that our small group, the main thing our small group does, the one that meets after lunch here, they ask questions. And the hope is that you read the Bible ahead of time and you go, what questions does this raise? It turns out it's really hard to think that way. It's really hard to ask questions because we have so many assumptions. We assume we already know what it's about. And one of the reasons we assume is because of the subheadings. So what if you throw out the subheading and you're just reading the scripture and you come upon these two verses and it's, he also told them a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? Well, that verse seems like a pretty good metaphor there. Probably if a blind person is trying to lead another blind person, they're going to bump into something or fall over something. And then he says, a disciple is not above the teacher, but every disciple who is fully qualified will be like the teacher. Here's another thing. Different translations sometimes translate the Greek text into different English words. And so in the red Bibles that you have out there, that's the New Revised Standard Version, it says a disciple is not above the teacher, but every disciple who is fully qualified will be the teacher. Is anybody reading something other than the NRSV out there? Debbie, what does yours say? And what translation is it? The New Living Translation? Fully trained. Okay, there's a few others. The New International Version also says fully trained. Anybody else have another version? Abigail. Oh, okay, good news. When he has completed his training. Yep. I have a few different. So the King James Version says, everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. The American Standard Version says, everyone, when he is perfected, shall be as his teacher. The English Standard Version says, everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. And the Wycliffe Bible, which goes way, way back, but each shall be perfect if he be as his master. So look at all of these different ways. In the NRSV, it just simply says, a disciple is not above the teacher, but every disciple who is fully qualified will be like the teacher. So what does it mean to be fully qualified? One of the ways that we try and answer that question is go, well, how do other translations, how do they translate that same Greek word, fully qualified, also fully trained, also perfect, when he is perfected, when he's fully trained, he shall be perfect. Okay, so look at all those different ways of translating, and all of those ways of translating are accurate. Again, I've said this so many times, but the Greek vocabulary is smaller than the English vocabulary. So one word in Greek has to carry a whole lot of meaning that we might have 8 words in English to cover. And so translators into English, and other languages as well, but I'm familiar with the English, have to choose what of this great big vocabulary is going to best capture what the author is trying to say. This is the work that Michael does, trying to figure out what words in, remind me of the language, Tal. He's working at translating into Tal. So he has to pick what word in Tal best captures the meaning of the Greek that we're here at. Because if we can't understand the meaning, then scripture is useless to us, right? If it's just words that we just read to say, well, I did my reading for the day, I'm finished, but we don't understand the meaning of it, then it doesn't do anything. It has no power in our lives. It doesn't reveal who God is. It doesn't reveal the ways of Jesus. So again, we don't want to depend on subheadings that somebody else, they are very helpful. And they are very, very, don't, I'm not saying, hey, throw them out, ignore them. They are very helpful. They were put there by very wise, very smart, very prayerful people. However, God wants to speak to us directly through scripture. So we have to do the work of asking, what does this actually mean? What does it mean when Jesus says that every disciple who is fully qualified will be like his teacher? What does it mean? There's a couple of things, I think, as we read these two verses. Really, the second verse is, the for me, the one, a disciple is not above the teacher, but every disciple who is fully qualified or fully trained or perfected will be like the teacher. So the teacher is Jesus. A disciple is somebody who follows, somebody who learns from a teacher, from Jesus. And there's two things that I think that Jesus is saying here. They could be stretched to be talking about judging, but I really don't think they're about judging. And the first question it raises for me is, who are we allowing to teach us? Who are we allowing to be the teacher for us? Is it another person who's blind, leading blind us into walls and doors and pits and tripping over hazards? And how do we determine whether or not somebody gets to teach us? One of the beautiful things in this age is we have access to so many experts and scholars and wise, prayerful people through the internet, don't we? We have access to people from around the world who can help us understand things. We also have access to a countless number of people who put themselves out there as being experts and teachers and wise and prayerful who are not. So how do we tell the difference? When I Google something and I get an answer back, is it just another blind person? Is it just another person who doesn't actually know what they're talking about? They just have more confidence, so put their ignorance online? Or is it somebody that's worth listening to? How do we know? How do we know if somebody is fully qualified or fully trained or perfect? What does that even mean? See, it's not up to them to prove to you. It's up to you to discern, to listen, to engage the brain and the knowledge and the skills and the understanding that God has given you. And I know that some of you are sitting there, you hear me say that, you go, Elaine, I'm not very smart. Elaine, I don't have any training. Elaine, this is beyond me, I can't do this. And I'm here to tell you that that is a lie that is being whispered into your head. Because we all have the ability to think and to be thoughtful. And you may have received a message over years, over a lifetime, that says something else about you, but I am here to tell you that there is not an idiot in this room. There is no one in this room who is incapable of hearing from God, of having scripture illuminated, of being able to discern whether or not the person who is teaching you is fully qualified, fully trained. Perfect is a weird word. I find troublesome in English, but it just means whole. It just means fully qualified, it means ready to be able to teach you. See, the thing is, we all have access to the same Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Jesus, the presence of Jesus here with us. We aren't dependent on our own wisdom, our own knowledge, our own understanding. We go to the Spirit, and the Spirit lets us know. In a book called, it's a very small book, it's called 1 John. It's near the end of the New Testament in the Bible. It's one of three letters written by a guy named John. And he says, beloved, he always talks to the people he writes to that way, beloved, do not believe every spirit, or do not believe every voice, or do not believe every person that you come across, or don't believe every web page, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world, and many false prophets continue to put their ideas online. And many false prophets decide just to hand it all over to AI and let AI tell us what is true or what is not true. We are all responsible for and empowered by God's own Holy Spirit to be able to discern truth from untruth, to be able to test those spirits. What does it mean when somebody is fully qualified, fully trained? It means that they have been following Jesus faithfully. They have been allowing the Holy Spirit to reshape them, to change them from within. And we can visibly observe the presence of God's Spirit working, transforming them into Jesus' likeness. That's really just what it means to be a disciple, be a follower of Jesus. It means we're becoming more like Jesus. And that's because the Holy Spirit is making us more and more like Jesus. And if you're listening to somebody online or you're listening to somebody live and in person and you're not able to observe their life, that's a very big challenge, because how can we tell if that person is living as a follower of Jesus? One of the things that breaks my heart is every time we find out through the news that yet another respected Christian leader has perpetrated violence or harm over other people. And they're people who, I don't know, I just, it breaks my heart, because I feel like whenever a revelation is made like that, we're left wondering, well, who is left? This is why I think gathering together as a community of faith is so important, and taking the time and spending the energy actually getting to know each other is important. When I hear Jane pray and lead us in prayer, and I have gotten to know Jane and see her faith in her life, that matters to how I hear her words. That matters to how I am able to discern or not whether she is being led by God's Holy Spirit as she leads us in prayer or not, right? If it's just some stranger out there, I have less tools to be able to discern. Whenever we open the Bible to read the Bible, let's start by saying, God, give me ears to hear what you would have me hear this morning. May the Holy Spirit be the primary one who is teaching us and training us, and then giving us insight and wisdom to know who we can turn to follow. There's another thing. Being Jesus followers means that we also get to a point where we are teaching other people to be Jesus followers. We are called to be followers of Jesus who also help other people be followers of Jesus. This is something that Jesus commissioned his first disciples and continues to commission all of his followers ever since. In Matthew 28, 19 to 20, we read something known as the Great Commission. And Jesus said to his disciples, these are like the last words he said before he returned to heaven. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." If you want to read this for yourself, it's at page 812 in the Red Bibles. "Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus himself has commissioned his followers, which includes us, not just those 12 famous ones in the Bible. It includes us. Jesus has commissioned all of us to follow him, to be trained up, to be built up as followers, to allow the Holy Spirit to make us more like Jesus. Why? So that we can go out and be the ones who are fully qualified, fully trained, who are perfected, who are made like Jesus, to help other people become followers of Jesus, teaching them to obey everything that he has commanded. That also is part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So if we're a follower of Jesus who's becoming more like Jesus, what was Jesus doing? Jesus was grabbing disciples and building them up and teaching them how to live as citizens of God's kingdom, how to be out there in the world advancing the kingdom of God, the values of God, the love that is God, of showing the fruits of the Holy Spirit, things like patience and kindness and joy and all of those various kind of things. Now, this is why I have a problem with perfect, because we sit back and we go, I guess I wait till I'm perfect to do that. And there's not one person in this room who is perfect or who has been perfected yet. There's also not one person in this room. Well, maybe there's one or two, but for the most part, most of us in this room have also been called, before we are perfect, to be leading others to Christ, to be helping others follow Christ, to know, to teach people how to obey everything that God has commanded them. And I think perfect, we could go into a whole word study on what that word means in English, but it's problematic for us in English because it tends to mean there's no more work to be done. We are finished. We are just exactly like Jesus, maybe even better than Jesus. We're perfect. And we can't be perfect so long as we live in a broken, sin-filled world and we are still dealing with sin. But I think that what is happening here, we get it fully qualified and fully trained. When you have learned what it is to be a follower of Jesus, and you have allowed the Holy Spirit to come in, and you have said, yes, Holy Spirit, you can do the work in me to be transforming me. As long as we have made that openness and we are on that journey, that qualifies us. Why? Because we're not asking people to become like us. We're asking people to become like Jesus. And so we are pointing the way towards Jesus. Anybody that you're listening to, anybody that you're reading, anybody that you're watching on YouTube or seeing in real life that is not pointing you to Jesus is not fully qualified, is not fully trained to be the teacher that you go after. They are but the blind leading us who are blind or at least short-sighted.